You saw some of the pictures back there on the table. These are some of the kids that we have committed our lives to. When I tell you about my own personal story, about my mom leaving me, that's, in essence, you will have a chance to do for one of our kids today the same thing that that man did for me when he picked me up off the street. It's an opportunity to take one child who, and I don't need to be dramatic. I'm way past that. I'm too old. This is the life I live. You guys will pick up on that more as this time goes on. We don't have a service right after this, so I'll be finished when I'm done, okay? See, all of you used to getting out at the same time, right? And it ain't going to happen today, just so you know. But this, what this is, guys, it's an opportunity for you to take one child. Like if you go, we've got kids from Metro in the Philippines. We've got kids that go to Metro Sunday School in Nakuru in Kenya. If you take one of the kids that lives in Philippines, you get to visit the sponsored child if you go in November. So I'll be back there at the back. I'll answer the questions. The team's back there. Don't get in too big of a rush. If you've ever wondered, can one person make a difference? You know, because that's church talk, and I get it. You know, oh, one person can make a difference. Really? Okay, just shh, shh. Okay. It's not just about saying it, guys. This is the practical side of this thing. It's 220, what are the Hong Kong dollars? Is that what they say? Yeah. Were they trying to make it like American dollars? So they just put dollars? Is that what it was? I don't know. Anyways, Hong Kong, you guys know how it works. 220 a month. What can you get for 220, Ashley? What buys? Do you guys have Starbucks here? Really? That's too bad. I'm not going to ask who goes to Starbucks because I will slap you. So do not raise your hand. What is a latte? Like in America, they're like $8, $9. Now for a double dopey, what do they call them? Latte. Well, how much is it here? You know how much it is. Oh, you're just guessing. You're just guessing now. All right. For those of you that know how much it is, how much is it? Does anybody know? You ain't going to say nothing now. You ain't saying nothing now. Anyways, in all seriousness, guys, this is your shot at taking one child. And we had somebody from the first service sponsor five. Somebody sponsored five, I think through a business. So I don't know who's here. I don't know you guys that well because it's been 6 years since I've been here, so I don't know all of you that well, okay? But through your business as a family, I don't know. But stop by, get some questions answered. You can pick the child or plural kids. And if you ever wondered, does this really make the difference? Kenny, give me that first picture. I want to show you. I had him load these pictures. This little girl's Jonah Lynn. We found her last month in the Philippines. She goes to our Sunday school right along the railroad tracks there outside of the Philippines or outside of Manila. And I saw her sitting on the tarps in Sunday school. I told the staff, I said, get that kid, bring her up here. Because she was doing this. She was kind of hiding. So she's just ashamed. But she still comes to Sunday school every week. I said, get her up here. So I got her up here and I said, go find her mother. Get her mother over here. I need to find out what the story is here. You guys know how this goes there. They don't have insurance. Same old. Let me say something here. And I don't say this to be mean, but I need you guys to get this. You ought to thank God every day you live where you live. I'm going to say that again because some of you didn't get it. You ought to thank God every day you live where you live. Okay? It's a 2-hour flight from here to there. Okay? It's not on the other side of the world, guys. You know that. Okay? Brought the mom over. She breaks down. She's crying. I thought, okay. All right, so we need to hit this. We need to hit it quick. She's 5 years old. And when this gets this big at this point, you all know how this works. They go quick when it's like this. Well, I had a girl with us visiting from Malaysia. She goes, Pastor Bill, I want to sponsor her. I thought, okay. So we got that picture, put it in the folders, like you guys will see. And this gal from Malaysia, she got it. She gets on the phone. She's starting. I get on the phone. And so we put the heat on one of the nicer hospitals, if there is such a thing, in Manila. Said, look, we need to do something, and we need to do it now. So we started putting it in motion. We got some people from the outside, jumped in. Give me another one, Kenny. What else you got? And I think, yeah, that's me with Joan Lynn and the mom. So the mother was for it, of course, but she was very clear. She said, you got to know, for those of you that are mothers, you got to know, when you know you can't save the life of your own child, when you're sitting there looking at this, you guys know what this does. What else, Kenny? I got a couple more. Yeah, we get her to the hospital, get her that day. Then she ends up the day before getting pneumonia. So then we got to get that taken care of. So 2 weeks after this, what else you got, Kenny? We're rolling her. Yeah, that's when we were rolling her in for the operation. The Christian doctor that we got, we found one. I requested him. He said, I'll do it. He said, I'll do it for free. Anesthesiologist, Christian gal. She said, I'll donate. I'll do my part for free. Two Christian nurses. Same thing. Thank God for Christian people. Amen. Thank God for Christian people. That's how this works, guys. It's when all of us jump in, that's what makes this thing happen. Okay? So what else we got, Kenny? So they went in, and they got the biggest part of the tumor out of there, but one of the veins, it had wrapped itself around one of the veins next to her carotid artery. So they got most of it out, but they're going to have to go back in about a year or so just to try to, because she's five. For them to go in, it was too close to that. But give me another one, Kenny. What do you got? So she got through it. It was about a six-hour operation. Long, long drug-out thing. But what else we got, Kenny? It was tough. The swelling has now gone down. This was only a couple of months ago when all this was happening. And we got her out. We were all praying. We had people praying, literally, all over the world. We have 100,000 people in our prayer network. I can send out an email, and everybody gets it, and they go after it. What else you got, Ken? You got another one? Oh, no, next one back. I'm sorry. All right. That was it? That was it for her. So we were able to see another life saved. I show you this for what reason? You get it? You got it now, don't you? That's what this is. All I'm asking, stop by at the end of the thing. Look at it. If the Lord drops one of these faces in your heart, the girls will, there's this card. We'll need you to fill it out real quick. You take all this with you, and you can be a part of it. So thanks, guys. I appreciate it. You can take that down, Kenny. Thank you. I want to get right into the message today, and then I'll catch up to you at the back table. When I was here the last time, I was trying to preach one message, and I didn't quite get it finished, and I've been working on it for the last 6 years. So I'm going to try to pick up kind of from where I left off, and actually I want to try to get with. So they said I have to be done at 1:20 because we're doing communion. Yeah, it'll be close. Yeah, because it won't be exactly at 1:20. Who told me to be done at 1:20? So, oh, you did. Okay. Why would you even say that to me? Why would you? You knew me from the first service. Why would you even say that? Where was I? I was in Amsterdam preaching at a pastor's conference, and I was walking from the hotel to the auditorium. I was a little early, had some time to kill, saw a Starbucks, kept walking. I like history. I'm a history guy. See this museum, this Dutch museum. So I thought, let me go walk around the museum, see what interesting things the Dutch have done. Not much. It's just true. So I'm walking through this Dutch museum, and I see this statue. Jan, come here. I'm going to just pick on you all day. All right? Give me a hand. I see this. For those of you in the back, the reason why you can't see, because you can't see from the back. I just wanted to bring that to your attention. So I see this statue of these two hands just clasped like this. That's the whole statue. Okay, thanks. Yeah, see how easy that was? See? So I'm reading the stanchion next to it. I'm speed reading it. And I'm thinking, okay, I know this story. I've read this story somewhere. And I couldn't get it. Then I got to the name. It was the story about a man by the name of Dirk Willems. Willems was a Christian in Amsterdam at a time in Dutch history. Christianity wasn't that popular, kind of like now. But he was very vocal. He was one of these demonstrative. So I'm earning that PhD, aren't I? This demonstrative Christian, really outspoken for his faith. So outspoken, the government says, no, we're going to take him out. So they're going to kill him. So Willems hears it. He's running for his life. Now watch me. It's in February. He's running for his life, going to get out of town because he knows they're coming for him. So he's running across this frozen lake. And Willem's kind of a smaller guy. So he gets across the lake. He's good. The guy that's chasing him from the government, big guy. All right? So the big guy gets about halfway across the lake, falls through the ice, can't swim. Drowning, screaming for help. Nobody's around except our boy, Willems. Now, remember, this guy is the guy that's taking Willems to his death. They're going to burn him at the stake. Okay? Willems is across. He hears the guy screaming, sees the guy drowning, runs back across the lake, reaches down the statue, grabs the guy, pulls him out, saves his life. The guy still takes him in. Okay. I think he was from Hong Kong. I can't prove that. I cannot prove it. It's pure speculation. He reaches down, grabs the guy, saves his life. Guy takes him in. So now it's 2 weeks later. Okay. So they've got Willems on a platform downtown Amsterdam. They're going to light him up. Well, the story of how Willems had saved this guy's life has circulated through the city. So the crowd gathers. You know how that goes. And somebody from the crowd goes, hey, Willems, why'd you do it? Why'd you save his life? And some guy, yeah, you knew he was taking you to his death. Why'd you do it? And from the platform, Willems says, it was a reflex. Listen to me. Don't miss this. In Jesus' name. He said it was a reflex. So my question to you in this message, because I'm doing three totally different messages today. The question in this service, we talked about vision in the first one. In this one, I'm going to get right in your face here. How is it then for some Christians that they have that kind of a reflex, but other Christians do not? Simple question. Answer, not quite as simple as the question. What then makes the difference? Y'all come to the same church every week, okay? Hear the same message, same stimulus, same input, same truth, same message. And some people get it, and the other folks are, man, what's wrong with that guy? I get it. What makes the difference between those Christians, like the guy that picked me up off the street? I'm there 3 days. One person, because you know anybody could have stopped, right? That was back in the 60s. Different time in American history. Okay. Could have been a gang member, stop. A drug dealer, pedophile. Anybody could have stopped and had someone else, my God, had anyone else stopped, 202,000 would not have heard the gospel last week. Do you see the defining moment? When that moment hits, guys, you better be ready. I'm talking about 100 degrees. Some of you are about 97, 98. All it's going to take is one more to grab you and move you into a whole different dimension of Christian life and Christian service. You know that. It's 1 degree that separates the liars from the buyers. It's all it takes is one. So Willem said it's a reflex. Now, I don't know how they do it here, but in America, when you go for your physical exam, you know, you're sitting on the hospital bed thing, and they got your leg hanging over the table, right? And then they take that, what do they call it, that dopey little hammer, mallet thing, whatever they call it, and they smack you right here. And if you've got any life in you at all, if you're like even breathing of some sort, when they smack you here, you don't have a choice, do you? Look at me. I'm going to say it again. When they hit you here, you don't vote. You don't have to go to a conference to figure out what to do. You don't even have to read a Joyce Meyer's book. I'm just saying. Mm-hmm. When they smack you here, something happens involuntarily. That's called a reflex. Willems said he saved the man's life out of a reflex. So again, I'm going to start pushing you now. What makes the difference between the Christian, like the guy who picked me up? His own kid was dying, but he still stopped to pick me up. That's unusual, as you know. What then makes the difference? I used to get invited to do debates. Not as much, I don't have the time like I used to. But I just enjoy getting into it with people. It's kind of my gift. So I was always invited to, I'm in Tulsa, Oklahoma, to dealing with a bunch of theologians. And if you've ever had to deal with theologians, it's quite exhausting. Because they're not as smart as they think they are. But have you ever been around people that just like to hear themselves talk? That just wears you out, doesn't it? It's just hard. So they're discussing, how did the Apostle Paul go from being the murderer to the missionary? That was quite a transition, was it not? I think so. So everybody's got an opinion. You know how folks are. Everybody's got an opinion. They're all like armpits. They all stink. And they've all got them. So I'm used to it. I always like to wait till last. I like to have the last word. It's kind of a New York thing. Then when I'm done, the meeting's over, and we can leave. That's it. So I'm waiting. And so, yeah, I've been on the Damascus Road myself at midnight in the Holy Land. I get it. I've been all those places. Got it. So, you got knocked off the donkey.
Really?
So that's your explanation. If I thought knocking some of you off a donkey would help you, I would have rented a donkey, brought it in here today, put some of you... I like to think I'm a little smarter than that, I hope. So everybody's got the opinion. I said, gentlemen, the Apostle Paul explains it himself in one verse. One verse. If you got your Bible, you can look at it yourself. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. What does it say? You've read it. I know you've read it. But did you really read it? What does it say? It says, and the love of Christ constrains us. Now, I don't know. When you guys are putting scripture up on the screen, Kenny, which one do you normally do? Do you use NIV or New King James or one of those other bogus translations? What do they normally use? What is it? NASB, the other bogus translation. Got it. Perfect. You would be, I don't know what translations you guys are looking at, but this word, depending on your translation, is sometimes it's compels, sometimes it, I don't, several different words. This word constrains. Listen to me now. Get this, then you can go back to sleep. But if you missed this part, you wasted your time coming here. So get this part, then you can do what you want. That word constrains in the Greek is the Greek word synecho. This is the only time this word synecho is used in the New Testament. Why is it? Because it's a very unusual word. Why? It's one of those words where they're, and I'm not sure, I know Mandarin, but I'm not up on my Cantonese. Okay? So, but in most languages, you guys know when you're looking in your dictionary, you'll see the primary definition. Am I right, Miss Deborah? The primary definition, she's our resident lawyer, educated person, okay? The primary, the secondary definition, depending on the text and the context of the word and how it's used. This word constrains, or synecho in the Greek, whenever it was used, it had three primaries. Don't miss this. In other words, when it was used, it meant three things at the same time. Now, you all know, no matter what language, that's weird. That's not normal. Three things. This is why Paul uses this word here. My God, don't miss this, guys. He said the love of Christ all by itself. Nothing added, no secret sauce. Nothing else put in the mix. The love of, when you understand what really happened there, not what you think happened, not what you read happened, not what you heard happened, but when that truth connects with you, something happens. Look at me. Do not miss this. Something happens. The love of Christ will do something all by itself. He said it constrained, and it wasn't in the singular. He was talking in the plural. That, if you've got your Bible, you can look at it. If you don't have a Bible, slip over next to a Christian. They'll have one. And you can look on with them. Bring your Bible, folks. Work with me here. Okay. The love of Christ constrains us, the plural. It does something. three definitions, three primaries. I'm going to give you those three definitions quickly, and then I'll get out of your way. Because I need you to get this to understand, not just in this message, but in the context of those pictures you're going to see. The context of what this whole thing of Peggy starting to see in Hong Kong, of Janice, of what we're going to do, where we're going tonight. What time are we going out there tonight? 9 o'clock, all right? We're going to go out and wander around a little bit, mix it up. If any of you, any up for that? Yeah, you let us know. See if you got what it takes. Never been out there, have you? I know. Perfect. So, let's talk about it quickly. Definition number one. And some of you are already getting ready to take notes, and that's a great idea, because it's worth taking notes for. Okay? It forces motion. Actually, one of the old Chambers dictionaries, which is where the old English came from, there's 7 or 8 of those original Chambers dictionaries that explains how that old English was formed. One of the old Chambers dictionaries says, it forces motion in an unnatural manner. Let me see if I've got this. And come, give me a minute. Hold that, Jens. There it is. Thank you, ma'am. All right. I take this with me all over the world. I want to get a close-up on this, Ken. That's a little difficult going through security sometimes. It's a little hard to explain. All right. Here's your power source. Here's your plug. We're going to pretend that this is hooked up to a Hong Kong fan. You can't see it. It's invisible. It's there. Right there. So, here's your source. Here's the plug. Now, I was raised classic Pentecostal. I only admit that when it's convenient. But because when I gave my life to Christ at the Sunday school camp, I had nowhere to live. My mother never came back. So they cleaned out a maintenance closet in the church that the man who picked me up went to. So I lived in this maintenance closet for almost 3 years. And I would hear the church people say, I've been walking with the Lord. I've been walking so close to the Lord all my life. And that sounds pretty impressive when you hear somebody say that. I was 12 years old. That was pretty impressive. Now I'm 70. You know what? I ain't that impressed. Because what they were saying was, I was walking close to the Lord. Okay, really? And that's supposed to impress me? See, you can be this close. Is anything going to happen? Uh-uh. And I don't want to get into a semantical discussion here, but that dog ain't going to hunt. That's what we say in the States. That doesn't mean anything to you, but I just like saying stuff like that. All right? Now, we can actually, give me a close-up, Kane. We can be that close, right? Is anything going to happen? No. But when this connects to this, all the little molecules in this plug and in the wire do not get together and vote. They don't get together with the board of deacons. Sorry. I'm sorry. I forgot where I was for a second. They don't get together and have a conflab. It's a good Mandarin word. No. When this, watch me. When this connects to this, and if you don't understand electricity and how it works, you can Google it. When this connects to this, my God, I want to slap somebody. By the nature of what is here, when this connects to it, this forces something to happen. All the way down the line. Nobody votes. Nobody thinks about it. Nobody, oh, I'm waiting for the Lord to lead. Shut up. Shut up. My God, shut up. No. If I hear one more Christian say that, I don't know what I'm going to do. just depends on the day. Come on, guys. Do you understand what Paul's saying? The love of Christ. When you get that, when you actually get it, when it connects with you, you'll have a choice. When I got the call to go to Afghanistan, I didn't have to think about it. Now some of you, well, let me pray about it. Let me see how the Lord leads. And you wanted it. In Jesus' name, of course. But you just, it's exhausting. See, when you get this, when you really get this, yeah. When I got shot in Syria, and I'll give you this. Yeah, we ain't going to be done by 1:20. Yo, bro, I'm just telling you. Just chill out. You'll be all right. You'll be all right. So, we're at the gate, right? And when the Israelis bring us in, they lock us in. There's landmines, anti-tank mines, anti-personnel mines all around. Just for simply because where we were. ISIS was 3 miles over here. The Russians were 4 miles here. Assad was running bombing runs on the ridge about 2 clicks out. So we're in there. And they brought the people in on trucks at 9 o'clock in the morning. And with the doctors and everything, we bring them in, work on the kids, do Sunday school with them. And so I see this lady. She's walking up the ramp towards the gate. And she's holding a kid, little boy. And I see her like this. And she's faltering. I thought, man, she ain't gonna make it. And she got almost to the gate. She falls, drops the boy. And I'll open the gate. And they weren't allowed to open it until our security detail was there. And they're not there. He said, I can't. I said, open the gate now. She opens the gate. I grab the interpreter. I pick the lady up. And she is hysterical. And I'm asking the interpreter, I said, what's up? What's she saying? And he said, I don't know. I'm trying to get her to explain it. And so I picked the little boy up. And his right hand, totally bandaged up, right? So she's just, I said, ma'am, just. And so the interpreter's explaining to me, apparently in one of Assad's runs, a piece of shrapnel had caught the kid here, cut the kid's hand off. Okay? So they got it wrapped up. So I'm holding the boy, and she's crying, and then she's saying through the interpreter, can you please help my son? And I'm saying, I don't know what's wrong. And then she just unwraps the hand. I see his hand is gone. And then she reaches into a paper bag and pulls out her son's hand. And she said, can you please help my son? Yeah. Come with me, man. Walk with me. Walk with me. And let's see how this plays for you. Don't ever wonder why I'm like I am, folks. I've done this a long time. Long time. Go with us in November. Go to the dump. Go to the cemetery. Do Sunday school with us in the cemetery. Well, you got 1,000 people that live as squatters in the cemetery. I said, I can't help. You want to know why I'm working on my MD now? That's why. Because I'm sick and tired. I'm just wore out. I'm wore out with it, man. You understand? I never had the question going to Syria. I knew where I was going. That's why I wore the bulletproof vest. I got it. I knew where I was going. But see, when you really understand that, what does it do? It pushes you. It presses you. It moves you. You don't have to play church games then. You don't have to use all our church vernacular as a cop-out. I know that sounds rough, but you know how this works. If you've been around this long enough, you know exactly what I'm saying. So let's not act like we don't. Okay? It moves you towards something. It pushes you. That's why when the call came to go to Kabul, see, I'm a grateful man. I should have been dead. I shouldn't be here. Come on. I've been in 3 plane crashes, folks. I walked away from all 3. Nobody walks away from 3. Okay. 1, maybe. 2, yeah. 3, nah. Nah. Nobody walks away from 3. And I'm smart enough to know that. Okay? Shot twice. Thrown off a building. Okay? What have I had? Malaria twice. Dengue twice. Yellow fever once. Tuberculosis once. I'm better now, so don't care. You should have seen it. When I got shot, because when the bullet hit my vest, it was a 308, which I know you guys don't do guns. We Americans, we all have guns. You know that. It's part of the beauty of our country. Okay. So it's a 308. It's a sniper round. Okay. Bent the metal plate in my vest. Broke a couple of ribs. One of the ribs poked a hole in my lung. So I'm out preaching because this was almost Christmas, and I've got to get the gifts for kids. I can't stop. So I'm preaching, and I'm coughing up blood. You know, and I always like to get close to some, and the people on the front row, they're just, I'm sorry, bro. You okay? But you can imagine. I mean, I'm coughing, spitting blood. It looked like I just got shot the day before. All I'm saying, guys, is when this really connects with you, when it's not just a little churchy thing or a little good thing because you're doing this because your wife drags you here every Sunday. You want me to elaborate on that? Sup? Uh-huh. I knew it. Yeah, because I've heard all the stories, man. I've been doing this 50 years. You ain't going to tell me nothing I haven't heard. But when this thing becomes real to you and you really understand the love of Christ all by itself changes you. It changes this and it changes this. Everything changes. Yeah. Paul explained it, or he tried to. He did his best. It moves you. Give me another picture, Kenny. I think it's a little boy in Kenya. I believe. Yeah. This was just a couple months ago. Our staff member in Kenya, she finds this kid laying in a field. You see his hand around that pile of dirt. Do you have the close-up of that, Kenny? I want to get a close. Yeah. You see? He was eating the dirt. He hadn't eaten for a week. So when our girl found him, he's eating the dirt. Now, here is why I'm showing you this, so you get this. She immediately, when she sees what's up, she grabs him. You see what I just said? Oh, what should I do? Oh, what? Oh, no. Those days are over, folks. There may have been a time when that played out. That didn't play out anymore. Not anymore. She saw it. She picked him up, took him back to the metro office, and guess what? She just fed him. Didn't have to think about it. Didn't have to sort it out. Didn't have to call a denominational official. Didn't have to call the people in her cell group to figure out what to do. When that man picked me up off the street, he had no reason. His own son was dying. What did he see in me? What did he see, period, that made him stop? You tell me. When you understand what he really did, it moves you. That's why we've had 3 kids fall dead in Sunday school over the last month. Just starvation. I'm not talking about gradually. I'm talking about in Sunday school, there. They just fell over dead. And I told them in the first service, and I'll tell you, I'm going to get food. But I'm going back to, where am I going? KL, after this. Going back to KL, then I'm going to Singapore. Somehow, some way, I'm getting the food. I don't know how I'm going to get it. I don't know where it's coming from, but I'm getting it. I'm getting it. Because I got to. I said, you can't see my deformed rib cage right here. I had rickets from malnutrition when I was little. My rib cage never developed right. I don't know if you know what it feels like to be hungry for a long time. I do. I do. And the love of Christ constrains you. Take the picture down. We're running out of time. But definition number two. Not only does it move you towards something, it keeps you away from something. That threw me off. Because even with the research that I've done on this in the Greek, I couldn't get it. It didn't make sense to me. And I believe the Holy Spirit dropped it in my spirit. Because I thought, of course, you idiot. Once you understand what Jesus really did, that truth all by itself will do what? It will keep you away from those things that are that the devil is constantly trying to throw at us. Trying to destroy you. Trying to destroy your family. That's those things that are constantly. You want to tell stories? Hey, I'll hang out with you. We'll tell stories. I had a guy in Germany. He said, I think I've lived a harder life than you. I said, really? He said, yeah, I think I have. He said, matter of fact, he said, I'll bet you 100 euros. Well, I'm never one to turn down from a challenge. I said, yeah, let's go. I pulled out a $100 bill. He had his 100 euros. I said, you want to start or you want me to start? He said, you go first. I thought, perfect. I started from the time I was little. I worked in the bar where my mother was a barmaid. I cleaned the toilets on Saturday. You want to know why we started in New York with Saturday Sunday school? Because I know how I spent my Saturdays. Yeah, but you don't know that, do you? Yeah. My sister was a prostitute. I saw things as a little boy I should never see. No kid should see what I've seen. And then she left. I've been on my own ever since. And that's okay. I know what it takes to live by faith. I used to have different family every night. Those 3 years I lived in the maintenance closet. Every night a different family from the church would come in and they'd bring me their leftovers. That's how I lived for years. I know what it takes to live by faith. I lived by faith as a little boy. I had somebody, I was doing a TV thing in London, and the lady, the presenter goes, she said, what was your dream as a child? She was not a Christian. Christians would have never asked me a question, an intuitive question like that. They always ask me the same stuff. She said, what was your dream? And I'm usually pretty quick. I can kind of answer stuff. And she stumped me. I thought, I don't know. I didn't really have dreams, you know, aspirations. But then I remembered every day walking home from the school to the church. Every day I would pray and I would say, Lord, whoever's supposed to bring me my food today, Lord, don't let them forget. That was my dream. I know what it takes to live by faith. It moves you towards something, but it keeps you away from something, away from those things that will plague you, that will fight with you, your mind, try to get you to quit, get you to walk away, get you to feel sorry for yourself. I get it. I get it. I totally get it. Yeah. Yeah. When I saw that little girl get her head cut off, I get it, man. I get it. I got the reasons. You want to talk about it? I can talk about it all day if you want. It moves you towards something, keeps you away from something. Yeah. Give me that picture, Kenny, we got to hurry here. I don't know how many. This was some of the stuff that was the vest that I wore in Syria. We got another shot, Kenny? I think, yeah, that was the bullet went in the back It was right here. Like I said, it bent the plate. What else you got, Kenny? Got a picture? Yeah, the Israelis pulled a slug out of the vest, and they put it next to a half shekel. Just as a comparison, you can see the size of the slug after it hit the plate. And they airlifted me out from on the helicopter to the hospital in Jerusalem. And everybody figured, man, he's not going to be able to get the gifts for the kids for Christmas. He's going to have to lay in the hospital. One of the newspapers covered it. It ain't stopping me. It ain't stopping me. Stop and do what? And what? Do you see what I'm trying to get across to you? The love of Christ does what? It moves you. It pushes you. When you understand this. Yeah. Thanks, Kenny. Take that down. But number three, it keeps you in something. Keeps you in something. Yeah. In what? Moves you towards something? Keeps you away from something? And last, number three, it keeps you in something. Unique word, this word Seneco. I got to a little country called Djibouti, just above Somalia, over in East Africa. Got to one of the orphanages. Little boy. Give me that picture of the kid with the cast, Kenny. Do we have that one? That's Lucas, yeah. They had just picked this kid up 2 days before. Somebody had took a hammer and broke his leg in three places with a hammer. I told you, I don't live like you folks. It's different. It's different. Yeah. And they just cast it up. And I was talking to the director. And they fed him just when he got in. He hadn't eaten. So one of the ladies in the orphanage took Lucas to the toilet. And I'm talking with the director. And all of a sudden I hear this woman with Lucas just scream. So we run in the toilet. He's laying on the floor in a pool of blood. I thought, oh man, he's hit his head or something. And I look, I thought, something's not right. And I'll tell you this, I don't see a lot of little kids here, so I think we're okay. I'm not going to embarrass you, but I'll give you just enough information so you know what I'm talking about. She took his diaper off. And this kid had been abused so badly that this much of his intestines was coming out of his rectum. I looked at that and I knew exactly what had happened. Because as strange as this sounds, this isn't the first time I've seen stuff like this. I think I talk about it in, I think, Teflon Rhino. That's another thing that happened in Haiti, similar. I thought, man, this kid's, because I mean, he's bleeding hard. So I look at the director, I said, we got to get this kid to the hospital. Well, in African countries, not all of them, but many of them, they close the borders at dusk. You don't go through till the next morning. Well, the closest hospital is across the border in Ethiopia. So I said, we got to get this kid to the hospital. He goes, Bill, they won't let you at borders because it was already 6 o'clock. They won't. They got army there. It's a river crossing. They won't let you cross. I said, well, we can't let the kid die. He's going to bleed to death. He said, I'm telling you, we've tried it. They won't let you cross. Okay, what are you going to do now? See, now I'm going to make it real personal. That's why when I tell you, come with me, I'm not kidding. I'm really not. Come with me. And then make the decisions. What are you going to do? And I said, okay, does anybody know where this hospital is? So they give me some 19-year-old dopey millennial, which is exhausting in itself. And I thought, oh, great. All right, here we go. So he knows where it is for sure. Yes. I said, okay, give me the keys to the Jeep. Let's go. So I got a wet cloth. I pushed his intestines back up in, wrapped him up, got him in the Jeep. I said, okay, you know where you're going. And the kid spoke English. He was from Europe. I think France, which makes it even doubly bad. Okay? I won't even eat French fries anymore. It's exhausting. So I said, all right, let's go. Let's go. So we jump in the Jeep. Here we go. We're going for the border. I have no idea what I'm doing, but we're going. You ain't saying nothing now. Yeah, yeah. Okay? So we get to the river. It's about, I'm going to say about twice as long as this whole building here. And I'm looking. I said, I'm waving. Anybody speak English? Okay? So the sergeant, I speak English. Great. Said, I got a kid here. He's dying. I got to get across. Sergeant says, tomorrow. I thought, okay. Said, no, he's dying. I have to do it now. Tomorrow. I said, sir, please, I have to get him across. He said, you come across, we will shoot you. Now, I live in Brooklyn, so I've heard this before. Okay, so this is not the first time I've dealt with this. And I got shot in the face up there in a robbery by the East River. So I kind of know how this goes. I'm thinking, look, I got to get him across. And so he went like this. And they've got the those gun trucks. You know, like you see on TV, where they've got the guns on the back of these Jeeps, those 4x4 Toyota things. So I thought, oh, man. And again, this is Africa. You know, this is not here. Different animal when you get out in that place. And I knew that. So now I look at Lucas and the kid that knows where the hospital is. So he looks at me, goes, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to go for it. This kid, the millennial, he jumps out of the Jeep, runs back to the orphanage. Now it's me and Lucas. Perfect. Okay? Typical French. So I'm going, if you're from France here, sorry, but, you know, suck it up, man. You guys need to toughen up a little bit. All right? So I thought, all right, this is it. We're in it now. And Lucas is starting to shake. He's starting to go into shock. I thought, all right, if I'm going to do this, this is it. Either I'm going to do it or I'm not. Thank you. Thank you. So I put the thing in gear. So I look, and the water doesn't look that deep. I'm thinking, man, I think we can get it. So I start driving in there. Well, now everybody's on full alert. Here we go. So Lucas is shaking. He's crying. And I'm looking over there. And they're just, I thought, okay. So I'm, you know, they're driving through this. And they fire a warning shot over my head. Okay. All right, well, this isn't the U.S. This isn't Hong Kong. This is Africa. I thought, well, and I don't know why I did this to this day. I closed my eyes. Last time I got shot, I saw it coming. And it seemed like it hurt. So I'm thinking, if I don't see it, I don't know. You just think stupid stuff when you're in these things. I can't even explain it. So I just keep going. They fire another shot. I thought, well, third time's a charm. That's it. It's coming. Well, as the Lord would provide, I got across, right? I make it, which is, to me, is the biggest. That's one of my top 10 miracles. So I get to the bank. I drive up the bank. The sergeant runs over, don't worry, I'm not going to grab you, grabs me, pulls me out of the Jeep, throws me on the ground, screaming at me. He says, what are you doing? Are you crazy? I get that a lot. I didn't say that. But I said, just come here. I got up and I brought him. I said, look. And we'd been bouncing around driving through that river that now, because he'd been bleeding and it was leather seats. So now the blood, it looked like we'd been shot. There's blood all over the inside of that Jeep. I said, sir, I said, I'm trying to save a kid's life, man. That's all. And he looked at Lucas, and he looked at me. He goes, you're an intense man. I said, yeah, sometimes. Sometimes I am. I said, I'm trying to get him to the hospital. And he went like this. And the guys moved the trucks. He said, you stay on this dirt road for 20 miles. He said, you'll find the hospital. I said, thank you. I put that thing in gear, and I'm flying. Now, I'm in I'm in Ethiopia somewhere. No GPS, no street signs, no map. It's kind of like being in Hong Kong. And I have no idea. I'm just going fast as I can. I found a little kind of wannabe hospital. Okay. I pick Lucas up. I run inside. One of the doctors could speak a little bit of English. I told him what I knew. But as I was giving Lucas to the doctor, because Lucas hasn't said a thing. He was shaking, he's crying, but he hadn't said anything. So I hand him to the doctor. And Lucas is talking. I look at the doctor. I said, what's he saying? I don't speak Swahili, obviously. And the doctor goes, you don't need to know. I said, yeah. Yeah, right about now, I need to know something. What's he saying? And Lucas was trying to say in Swahili, thank you, mister. Thank you for helping me. You're welcome. You're welcome. So I walked back out, and now I'm standing in this dirt parking lot next to the Jeep. And the crowd gathers. You've never been to Africa, huh? Come, you need to come next time. It's just lots of fun. So the crowd's gathering. I thought, yep, it's time to go. I know when it's time to go. I don't know if it was Billy Graham or maybe Kenny Rogers. And I think it was Kenny Rogers. He said, you got to know when to hold them. You got to know when to fold them. You don't understand that. That was for my own edification. You got to know when to run. I got in that Jeep. Here we go. I thought, I'm just going to follow this road. Same way I came. So I get back to the river crossing a couple hours ago. These were the guys who were going to kill me. Hey, preacher, did you get the boy? Yeah, high five. 2 hours ago, they were going to kill me. Now I'm the hero. I love Africa. I love Africa. So I get the Jeep back to the orphanage. And then the next day, I get back to JFK. Now, I don't expect you to understand what I just said. And then you get back to JFK, and the staff goes, hey, how was the trip? Great. You see what I'm saying? I go in and out of two worlds all the time. All the time. And then I show up here on Sunday and try to do what? Try to make this make sense? It ain't going to make sense. I know it. Now you know it. Doesn't make sense to you either, does it? I know. So I get home, and I couldn't get Lucas out of my head. And I was trying to get back to them. Is he okay? Couldn't. Well, it was about 6 months later. It's one with Rosie. I went back to the same trip with Rosie from the first service. I thought, I'm going to go by that orphanage. So I didn't even tell him I was coming. I got an old Hertz pickup truck, got out there, and so I pull up to the orphanage, right? And they don't know I'm coming. I just pull up, beep the horn. Nobody comes out. So I beep the horn again, and then one of the kids comes to the door, opens the door. You got that other picture, Kenny, that last picture? And he looks at me, and then he goes, so it's Lucas. And he runs out, he jumps on me, and then he's trying to say something. Now, the first time he talked to me back at the hospital, remember? I didn't understand what he was saying. But this time he was saying the same thing, but I remembered. I remembered what he was saying. Thank you, mister. Thank you for helping me. Yeah, you're welcome. What does all this mean to you? You can do with this whatever you want to do with it. You will anyway. I know that. Willem said it was a reflex. When I drove that Jeep into the river, I didn't really have to think about it that much, you know? Seems like you ought to. Maybe looking back at it, maybe I should have. Maybe not. I don't think so. I think I did exactly what I was supposed to do. Yeah, so I'll ask you the question one last time, and then I'll be finished. What's the difference then between some Christians that they just go, and others that just what do you think? Makes sense now? A little bit? Yeah, maybe a little bit. And the love of Christ constrains us. Father, I love you. I tell you a lot. I don't know if it's ever enough, but I try. I try. So I thank you, Lord, for that one man that stopped a long time ago. But thank you. Thank you. And I pray, Lord, in the quietness of the moment, that somehow, Lord, your love and the truth of the cross will be real to us today. It's got nothing to do with culture. It's got nothing to do with countries. It's got nothing to do with nothing. Except all I know is I once was lost. I was a little boy that was lost. Now I'm found. I was blind. Now I see. Thank you for being real to me. Thank you. Yeah. How great is our God? Sing with me. How great is our God? And all will see how great is our God. Stand with me and sing it. Lift your hands. Come on. How great is our God? Sing with me. Is our God, and all will see how great. So, Father, I pray for my friends. Lord, we stand in your presence, reminded once again. It's not about us. It's not about all the things that divide us, but it's about the one thing that unites us. Let your love be so real today. So real. Because there's still a little boy sitting on a corner. Little girl. And the stories go on and on. Little boy hungry, eating dirt. Yeah. Speak to us as only you can speak to us. Use us to be the ones to make a difference. Let the love of Christ constrain us, to move us. Then the love of Christ does it. Lift your hands one more time. How great is our God? Sing with me. How great is our God? And all will see how great is our God. How great is our God? Sing with me. Is our God, then all will see.